Helen on Inspired Radio. 11 a.m. Mondays, Yarra Valley FM 99.1. Did you hear that last bit of my little show intro? It says, you've got the power in you. And I think that's so apt for today. It really applies for my guest. You know that the show's all about change and getting uncomfortable, and change starts with you. So you can sit around your whole life waiting for change to happen, but no one else is going to do it. You have to do it yourself. So I'm here to talk to people who are creating change and people who are comfortable with being uncomfortable, because that's all a part of it too. So let's start a good conversation here today on Inspired Radio. Today I've got someone who knows all about change, and I bet she really knows about uncomfortable. I've got Michelle with me. Hi, Michelle, and welcome.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, good. Michelle, thanks so much for coming in, because I know that this is not something you've done before and you're just wrestling with a few nerves there.
Yeah, definitely. It's something that's, you're stepping out of your comfort zone, and you thought, well, might as well come out and tell my story to a lot more people out there.
Excellent, excellent. So let's start. Let's start. We had a little rundown, and there's a few things just in that conversation with you that really inspired me. So we're going to talk about the last 5 years and a few things that happened. Tell me, you got into common law just before all the lockdowns and stuff happened. Yeah. Why did that come about?
Well, it was just interesting. You know, I decided there was something inside of me. My gut instinct was saying, you've got to get out there and start learning about the common law, and I just reached out to a few groups in the area and found a tribe nearby and decided to go in there and just investigate and just see what it was all about.
So what was happening in the outside world that made you want to look at common law?
Oh, there was just a lot of, like, questions I needed answers, you know, from what was going on out there.
What had you questioning?
Well, you know, what's going on? You know, I just wanted to... We were in this, the longest lockdown in the world, you know, in Victoria, and that's a long time. I think there was like 7 in total, and at the start I was like, what is going on here? I really need to know what's all about, you know? So I decided to look at the common law and also the constitution, because I thought, well...
Were you trying to figure out whether they had the right to do what they were doing?
Well, yeah, you know, everything just seemed nonsensical. You know, mm-hmm. I had no common sense. everything wasn't making sense at all. And so I needed to, my gut instinct was like, you need to go and find some answers. And I thought that was probably the best way of looking at it.
And what did you find in those groups that you connected with?
Yeah, well, I was surprised, you know, like, just, I thought it was all like a fairy tale at the start, until...
What do you mean? It was a bit of an illusion?
Well, yeah, you know, you kind of think, is this true? Is this not true? You start, you know, thinking, what are these guys talking about? And until I actually looked at, like, an old, like, note, and it had the Commonwealth of Australia on it, and...
Money note?
Yeah, money note, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it had, and now it's just got Australia on it. I thought, well, what happened to the Commonwealth?
Did you? Oh, so you feel like you woke up from a dream of some sort, didn't you?
It was like, what on earth is going on here? So that's what, and I thought, okay, well, these guys are pretty, they've been going for a while and I'm just brand new. So I started asking all these
questions. Hang on. The common law groups you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was probably about, 12 of us at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and... they just explained how things were running. I was just opened my eyes up.
So the outside world, you kind of popped the illusion somehow and couldn't see any common sense. Mm. So you went looking for some answers. So to see whether they had the right to do, and when we say they, we're talking about the government, the politicians, whether they had the right to do what they were doing. And then you found some common law groups. Did you know that they were out there beforehand?
No, I had no idea. I was like, I just, there's something just dropped into my mind, and I just thought I'd do a bit of research, and then I found, oh, look, there's one near me. So I thought, great, I'm going to go and have a look.
Fantastic. And it sounds like you love doing research.
Well, it's funny, you know, I left school in year 10, and this is going back in the mid-80s.
Mm-hmm.
So back then I hated school. I just like art and phys ed and going home basically and just living your life. But then for some reason this just kicked in and the researcher came out of me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fabulous.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's just something that you found you were naturally inclined in that you hadn't plugged into before.
No, not at all. I did look at, you know, lawyers and that sort of stuff in the past, but I thought, oh, that's just too much work. I'm going to enjoy life and go and travel and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So I just went down that avenue and didn't bother about going into more professional work.
Okay, but you didn't need to because now all of a sudden you were becoming the pseudo-legal or lawful person yourself.
Well, that's right. And I thought, well, you've got to start looking at these things and you know, are these like deceptions or lies or, you know, is it, what's happening here? Are they bending the truth?
So you weren't ready to accept what was going on. You wanted to question it. You wanted to be able to challenge it somehow.
Yeah, well, somehow. I didn't know how to, but I just thought there's got to be something in this.
Did you start to find some answers?
Well, yeah, I did. And it was interesting. It kind of evolved a bit later down the track.
Okay. And let me just bring this into it because I know that you and your husband have got a business, right? And I just remember at times that you were really crafting lengthy letters and all sorts of things. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, you know, everyone was going through the people coming out and expecting businesses and so forth, and they shut a lot of businesses down. And I was thinking, wow, this is just what making these people like shut down businesses? I was just surprised.
So they were coming after your business in terms of regulations and things that you needed to do.
Every business got it, you know.
Yeah.
And there was really no answers out there for anybody. No rule book for.
There were business. No resources.
No resources.
It was do this, but there was nobody to talk to about how or why.
No, that's right. And it was left up to yourself, really, which was a bit disappointing. But then again, I suppose no one knew this was coming. You know?
That's a hell of a lot to handle, though. Like, you're handling being locked down, like all of us were. Mm. You're handling trying to run your business while it's being regulated in many different ways.
Mm.
You've got kids as well, haven't you?
Yeah, we've got trying four to total.
Four kids, trying to handle that. And then you had to start trying to challenge and question everything that was going on as well.
Yeah, well, you get in that, like, 9-to-5 mode. You just want to work and pick up the kids or, you know, do kids' things and run them around. And you're not thinking about anything to do with common law or any legislation and that sort of stuff. You're too busy living your life.
Well, there was no room, was there, for anything else? So how did you fit it all in?
Yeah, I know. That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
All right. We're going to just go to a song and we'll be back soon, folks.
Cradle me to sleep for 20 years or something. A friend that lives in the TV. Two of them you'd never be. A person with a drinking problem. You're just a man behind the screen. And I was jealous that Joey was your roommate. But in the real world you just live by yourself. And by the time someone fooled you, it was too late. It got too much and you chose heaven over hell. So when the rain starts to pour, I'll be thinking of you. So no one ever told you life would be this way. Rewind the scene where they were singing, I'll be there. You. card you sent to you. It's torment when the laughter ends. And all the publications speculated mostly rumors. Now they pretend to be your friends. And by the time someone found you, it was too late. It got too much and you chose heaven over love.
Listening to Inspired Radio. I'm here until 12 today. You were just listening to James Arthur and his song Friends. I hope you feel relaxed and ready to join me and Michelle in our conversation. Let's continue, Michelle. I really want to hear about, like you were just talking about common law and starting to investigate what was happening and why it was happening and if it was right, really.
Yeah.
If I had said to you 10 years ago that you were going to be a protester, you were going to be a member of a protest out there, what would you have said to me?
No way.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, we did one rally ages ago when we had our motorbike and that sort of stuff, but, you know, and we...
Were you a hippie with flowers in your hair and all that?
No, just like they'd made some changes and things, but other than that, yeah, nothing... to the extreme that's been happening in the last few years, that's for sure.
So you got involved in being one of the people in the protest or a protest.
Yes.
Tell me about your experience, because you said something happened to you.
Oh, look, here I was, you know, living the life, and then this, as everyone else was, I suppose, and then things happened and we go into this sort of like... fear mode and frustration and things like that, and we want answers. And I suppose when we went into the protests in the city, we heard there was lots, you know, people going in there, and they all want answers, you know, to their questions.
So what did you go in there for? What did you think you were in? Because, I mean, protesters have been pretty much categorised in the media out there, which is a bit unfair because I got to know a lot of men and women personally. Mm. It's not something that I would do, but I got to know a lot of men and women who stepped up and did that.
Mm.
What were you trying to achieve?
Well, just sort of like... Well, first of all, we went out there just to see what was going on and listen to speakers and just listen to a few other people and just try and seek the answers that I needed in our minds.
So it wasn't about just going to the streets and shouting and yelling and carrying on. You were going in there to listen to some people who were talking about what?
Well, all that was happening on, you know, like these all these rules that were being pushed upon us. And, you know, we, it wasn't agreeing with us, you know, and so we decided to go in there, and we met like a lot of people. Like, we were surprised because mainstream weren't covering it, and I was surprised. I thought, well, this is going to be on the Nine News or, you know, wherever it might be.
Yes.
But no, it was more on the back channels, and it was like, wow, that's quite interesting. Why aren't they not televising this, you know? There's a lot of people out there with, They're wanting answers of why we're having these lockdowns, you know.
Mm, so you're sort of wondering why the truth wasn't being put out there in the mainstream.
Yeah, and that's right. And just, I just remember a few times, you know, there was some bit of argy-bargy and things, but, you know, we all were pretty peaceful. And
they were the things that hit the mainstream, wasn't it? I mean, it was more about looking at just a tiny minority that may have gotten angry and upset and lashed out, where what were the majority doing?
Well, I don't even think they were that really in where I was anyway. No one was really angry and lashed out. Everyone was really peaceful.
Mm.
It was a few things were set up for mainstream that I thought I saw anyway. But
set up?
Yeah, you know, like there was situations where some authorities would step in and antagonise people. And
provoke a little bit.
You know, and then that's kind of made a reaction. But it was unnecessary. I mean, people were there just going, they really wanted answers and going, why is this happening? You know, this is just crazy.
Yeah, that's fabulous. Now, tell me, though, I mean, my little show intro says the power is in you. Mm. Tell me about that experience you had at a protest where you felt that shift for yourself.
Yeah, well, you know, walking through the streets in the CBD, and I remember one time we were going through the city, and even the wind just whipped up. It was amazing. Like, this wind just carried all of us, this energy, and you could feel how powerful it was. And everyone there was just waving their flags or waving their like little banner and things like that. And you know, there was like 800,000 people there. It was a lot of people, maybe more. It was a massive amount of people.
I had no idea myself.
Yeah, you'd think there'd be 20 or 30 or 40 or maybe 100, but no, there was like quite a few stadiums in that area,
right.
And I was surprised, and everyone was just, you know, introducing themselves, and they were just nice people, you know.
So you're having the same experience that I had in 2022 when I did the public speaking. Everyone that came to hear me talk were kind, loving men and women. That's what surprised me more than anything, that everyone that was looking for change were just really lovely people with good, what I call a good moral compass. So you were finding the same thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. A lot of people were just lovely people, and they just found themselves out of work because of certain things happening to them. You know, all ranges from all different careers.
Mm.
You know.
So tell me about that energy, wind that picked up that energy. What did it do to you?
It was just, it kind of like just brought more this power and strength through all of us at the time. And it just continued on. And we knew that there was something big, like energetically happening out there too at the same time. Just having everyone there, having this wind go through, it was just an unexplainable sort of like feeling. But we just basically drew on that power and we continued on. I mean, I'm coming from a person that's meek and mild and wouldn't even, like, if I was in a classroom, I'd be the one, like, sinking under the table if the teacher was looking for someone to answer a question.
Silently, don't look at me, don't look at me.
Don't look at me. You know, whereas now, you know, I'm kind of like, you know, still happy and fun and that sort of stuff, but yeah, I was very shy, and now I've come out and just
so did that protest do that?
Yeah, I think
what was that?
Yeah, it's just undescribable, and I think it's because the collective as well, everyone else was feeling it too, and we all sort of started raising our vibration inside, and we've just kept elevating ourselves.
And, you know, I think we spoke of it off air earlier when we talked about that some people have done something that broke the chain to authority. Mm. It was just a really, is that what you did?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it was like, well, we're standing up here for, you know, our freedoms, everyone else's freedoms and everyone's rights, you know.
Well, because we thought we were free up until that point.
Well, that's right. We all thought that we were all cruising along. We were all pretty laid-back Australians. Mm. You know? And then all these harsh things were coming down and it was just unbelievable. Like, all of us was just going, what on earth is happening here?
So what you're talking about is that you found some sort of power in you and you found that, well, collectively around you, everyone else was a part of that and finding that for themselves as well.
Yeah, everyone. It just ignited everyone inside. It was amazing.
That is incredible. Mm. Let's go to a song on that one. Okay. Everybody contemplate that.
I've been waiting for the tides to change, for the waves to send you my way. I see you, darling, but you pixelate. It gets hard to take these days. But we'll hold the line. I won't let go. 'Cause I'll be there when you can finally make it home. And I don't mind. 'Cause we both know that we'll be fine when you can finally make it home. Because when days, summer's golden haze in our eyes, lifting you above the breaking waves, memories floating back to my mind.
Everyone, Helen Taylor here with Inspired Radio. We're here till 12 o'clock today. I'm here with Michelle and we're having a conversation about change and getting uncomfortable things that have happened to her in the last 5 years and protesting being one of them. Thank you so much for sharing. That's really brave of you to let people out there know your personal experience, especially when there's been, you know, I mean, it divided people, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, it did. And I mean, yeah, they weren't telling people why they were out there protesting if they were. But, you know, we are very powerful. And once you tap into that power, you never tap back out.
You have to do something extremely uncomfortable to tap into it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we were all, like, well, personally, I was, like, scared. It's like, what are we going to do here? Like, what are we going to, like, what's going to happen?
1,000 voices in your head.
Yeah, you're fighting
don't,
these, you
don't.
Know, you know, and you go, okay, I'm going to this protest today. Just put your shoes on, you know, put your pants on. Let's get in the car, get there, go there. You know, all those steps you've got to do. Just keep moving forward.
Yeah.
Because if you don't move forward, you're going to be stagnant and you never get to, like, experience life.
What do you think gets in our way? What is it?
I don't know. It's the fear, I think. And
absolutely.
You know, I think that we've just been so dumbed down over the years and we've forgotten to step back into our own power.
Dumbed down, though, can also be translated as comfortable, can't it?
Well, yeah, comfortable.
Seemingly comfortable.
Yeah, you don't want to know about it. That's too hard, you know. It doesn't affect me. Well, it does, you know, whether it's directly or indirectly, it's affecting other people around you. And I don't think that's really fair to see people being affected by what was going on.
Yeah. You know? So let's move on to something else. So much happened to you in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And you're still sitting here with a smile on your face. It's fabulous. Testament to your character, that's for sure. So let's talk about the car accident that you have and the personal experience you had. So this is during all the lockdowns and during all the hype about COVID and you know, the hospitals being smashed with so many people and things. Tell me about that experience. You had a car accident and you ended up in hospital.
Yeah, that's right. When I was in the car, just the airbags went off. It was quite a surreal feeling, and the airbag hit me in the chest pretty hard, and I was really struggling to breathe. But I looked in the cab of the car, and I could just see these sparkles, and I thought, what is that? You know, like, it was just weird.
A doctor would call that concussion,
yeah,
I would say.
Probably.
A spiritualist would say something else.
Yeah, that's right. And I think it's more the something else that was with me, because I couldn't use my arms and legs, I was just like...
So you were temporarily just, what, paralysed or frozen?
Like, I think the fluid in the back of my neck was just all like, I don't know. It was just crazy. I couldn't use, I couldn't turn the car off, I couldn't get out of the car.
It was a hell of an impact you
it
had.
It was,
then.
Yeah.
So what happened when you got into hospital? Tell me what you started to... This, again, was you seeing the reality.
Yeah.
What'd you see?
Yeah, so I was in the ambo and, you know, they were checking everything over and testing things and, you know, they didn't put a mask on me, which was great because, you know, they obviously needed to talk to me about certain things and I was sort of really struggling to breathe and concentrate and even saying my name. I was just so concussed. And when the lady said, oh, you know, you'll have to wear one of these, and I said, look, I can't wear one of those. You know, in the past I've been sexually attacked, you know, and this is one of the reasons why.
So wearing a mask was a traumatising thing
for you? It was a massive trigger for me, you know.
Sure.
And she understood that. She was great. But they temporarily put one on when I was in, when they wheeled me in, because the head nurse there, she was a bit of a... bulldog came out and was checking everyone really quickly, and I was like probably 2 minutes or so, and
making sure she was following what protocol she had to follow.
Yeah, following orders. So anyway, they wheeled me into the emergency room there, and that came off pretty quickly, which was, I was like, oh, thank goodness, because I was already freaking out because of the car accident, not being able to use your arms and legs. You're kind of like in that mode. But anyway, so they did all the tests and they took me up into the rooms, and eventually I was put into a ward, and I was surprised, you know, like eventually I started feeling like my hands and feet and everything else started coming back to normal, which was like, thank you, God.
That would have made you extremely happy.
Well, yeah, you know, just a tad, because you kind of think, well, what's going on here? So I was in there for a good 4 or 5 days. And so in the months of my recovery, I decided to exercise. and, you know, sort of get out there with my
you
gown
mean walking
on
around
and go for a bit of a walk, you know, and... So I walked around and just saw what was going on in the hospital, and it wasn't what they were saying was happening in there. I was surprised, you know. I remember I got...
What do you mean?
Well, you know, I got when I was there and I got wheeled into, like, staying in there longer, I was in this bed in there, and I've come up to this level, and there was all these empty beds in the hallway, and I've gone, oh. I said, why are these empty beds out here? It was like we're playing dodgem cards, because the one that they were wheeling me past was bumping into these empty beds, and I'm going, oh. And they said, oh, that's for all the COVID patients. And I'm going, well, they're empty. And I'm going, oh, okay. And I said, so where's the ward? And he goes, oh, it's just going past it. I said, what? The one that we just went past, it was like in darkness. It was nobody in there.
Right. So what you were seeing was contrary to what was being said mainstream. Because we were being told that the hospitals were full and overloaded and they had to set up these pavilions or tents and things like that. So you experienced something very different.
Yeah. And I was like, but what? You know, so it wasn't making any sense to me. I'm going, but you guys are saying you're so busy. But then this was like empty. And I thought, oh, okay, I don't know. Maybe they moved it somewhere else. I don't know.
Sure.
But
but thanks for sharing. I mean, this was your experience. And I don't know, there's not a lot of people that were out there talking about all of this that was, well, their own realities and what was going on.
Yeah. I mean, I was walking around with no mask on and just walking around the hospital. And I found that a lot of people were doing the same thing too. Because we're all in there and we're like recovering from whatever, whether it's a car accident. I was just trying to get it. Utilise my feet again and my arms and everything else too. So I was just, okay, I'm just trying to take it easy.
Sure.
Yeah. But I was surprised to sort of see that was empty, and I thought, oh, okay.
Yeah. It is a shock, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is a shock to see that what you're being told on the one hand is different from what you're actually experiencing.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, who knows if they're all in a different spot? I don't know, but that's what I was told at the time when I was going past. I thought, oh, that's unusual. So then you just question things again from that.
Yeah. So tell me, you know, for a lot of people, it was quite a dividing time as well, because people lost a lot of friends and family just through different opinions and different ways of addressing things. Did that happen to you as well?
Yeah, it did. It happened in every family, I think. Some of the old mates and things, they just decided to turn to alcohol, because that was one of the things the shops were open, you know?
Yes. Yeah, funny about that.
Yeah. So a lot of people just said, oh, well, then I'm going to have a forced holiday. At first we thought the same thing, like, oh, yeah, 2 weeks, no worries. When you have your own business, it's a bit hard to sort of get a day off, let alone have a couple of weeks off.
Especially when it's had to be closed down for certain periods of time
Right, you know, and
that's your lifeline.
Yeah, but I thought, I'm not going down that track. I'm not going to become an alcoholic.
There were other options.
There are other options out there. And, like, this is why I decided to go, no, I'm going within here, because I feel like there's got to be some, there's definitely questions that I've got that aren't being answered truthfully.
Mm-hmm. That's a good place to go to another song. Thank you, Michelle. We'll be back soon.
See the curtains hanging in the window in the evening on a Friday night. Little light is shining through the window, lets me know everything's alright. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. Paper laying on the sidewalk, a little music from the house next door. So I walk on up to the doorstep, through the screen and across the floor. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind.
and bring her to, and I come home from a hard day's work, and you're waiting there, a care in the world. See the smile of him in the kitchen, food cooking on the plates for two. Feel the arms that reach out to hold me in the evening when the day is through.
Taylor here with Inspired Radio, here till 12 noon. I'm here with Michelle. We're having conversations about change and being uncomfortable and the things that she needed to do over the last 5 years to just get on with her life and figure a few things out. Yeah, Michelle?
Yeah, that's right. I had to really look in within myself and just figure out what's going on, because, you know, my thoughts aren't just thoughts, you know. They're like, it's my blueprint to my reality. So, you know, you've got to be the captain of the ship and take charge and steer where you want to go.
That's fabulous, because I figured the same thing out myself, right? Your thoughts create reality.
Mm.
Yeah. And I think there's 8 billion realities on this planet.
Mm.
When I say that, I mean, you know, when I started figuring this out, that reality is personal and we are all creating or co-creating,
yeah.
It was when, you know, I started watching, like, somebody had a car accident, and if 6 people watched that car accident, 6 people had a version of what happened.
Yeah.
And they weren't all exactly the same.
No, everything's different. And everyone's got their story, haven't
they? Yeah, you know? Yeah. And that's when I started realizing. So, yeah, for some people, we get a nudge somewhere in our lives that kind of wakes us up to something else.
Yeah.
And is that what happened in the last 5 years?
Well, yeah, you know, a lot of things happened for me, you know, just even from the kids were in lockdown, so I just continued having my child at home, you know, and did homeschool. I was a homeschool teacher,
But you said to me that you started doing some personal development work,
yeah,
right?
That's,
so
that's
this,
right.
All the events were kind of pushing you within yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you started doing what sort of work with yourself?
Yeah, so I actually did a course in Angelic Reiki 1 and 2. I've still got masters to go. Learned a lot of meditations, you know, and that's not just sitting there cross-legged going om and that sort of stuff, you know. Meditation can be lots of things, you know. You can be looking at your campfire or just a fireplace, walking on the beach or going into nature and
isn't that funny though? Is that what happens to a lot of people? Because that's what happened to me.
Yeah.
You wake up to something and you start having this spiritual journey.
I think a lot of more people are actually looking within, and just seeing how things go. I mean, to actually using your heart fills space and remove any egos, massive. You find your inner strength and to be powerful, but still find, you know, empathy in the world and just be a light for others that have forgotten to shine, you know. You can open all sorts of avenues that you thought was never possible. So, you know, you've really got to be proactive, put in the work. It's not going to land in your lap without doing your energy work, you know, on yourself to make change.
Well done. Well done, Michelle. I'm sorry, everybody.
<all right.
clears throat> throat just got a bit of a tickle in it. Let's go to a song.
We were good, we were gold, kind of dream that can't be sold. We were right till we weren't, built a home and watched it burn. No remorse, no regret. I forgive every word you say. Ooh, I didn't wanna leave, babe. I didn't wanna fight. Started to cry, but then remembered then remembered I.
Everybody, welcome back. Helen Taylor here, and this is Inspired Radio. So sorry, that must be a radio announcer's biggest nightmare, is having a coughing fit while you're on radio. So my apologies for all of that. And thank you, Michelle, for just keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
Well, that was happening. Thank you so much.
That's all right. Yeah.
So let's finish off today with your journey into natural products. How did that start?
Oh, well, it's been a bit of a journey, but, you know, I decided to look into alternative therapies
So that came about over the last 5 years as well?
Yeah, that's right. I sort of lost a bit of trust with some of the doctors and things, but that's okay. And I decided to, you know, do my own natural healing and remedies and looking at medicinal plants and things like that. And because we were like struggling for cash, you know, we were just buying some cheap laundry powders and a lot of other things as well. We were just really trying to survive like everybody else out there. And the poor kids are coming up, you know, with these rashes on their arms. I'm thinking, oh dear, what's going on here? So basically we...
Your kids?
Yeah.
What do you mean from the cheaper products?
Yeah, it seemed to have affect them for some reason. So I decided to make my own and just got to a really great formula and noticed that by using 100% natural products, their skin started to heal a lot better, and I'm going, wow, there's something in this.
Wow.
Yeah, so I just sort of...
Me, I love that because I am the crash test dummy.
Yeah.
So anything that, you know, any products and things in my life, I had to test them, and that's what you were doing.
Yeah, well, I did it first, you know, and just wanted to make sure that that wasn't harmful, and it wasn't. It was just all natural anyway, so it was no problem. So then I just worked on the formula a bit more and basically noticed that, you know, it was washing everyone's clothes really well. So I just gave it to some friends and they trialed it and they said, what a great, like, product. And I thought, fantastic. It's all Australian sourced ingredients, 100% natural. It's all environmentally friendly. It's vegan free. It's palm oil free. No animal testing. Yeah, so it's been quite an amazing, like, journey to look into that. So once I found that the kids and myself, my skin was healing better, they said, why don't you just try and put it out there in the market? So I decided to design up a logo and made a name and... did all the labels and packaging and flyers and the website.
Who are you?
It's like, where did this come from? So, yeah, just really dug in and decided to do all that. And it's funny, you know, the logo I've got, the company's called Shack Essentials, and I've got this little kookaburra sitting on a blue roof. And so I love the old, you know, wildlife and that sort of stuff. And the meaning of a kookaburra, I'll read it out to you.
Mm-hmm.
The presence of a kookaburra has a bold and a strong energy. It indicates that it's time for signals and omens. It draws our attention to family and relationships and asks us to listen to nature and the world around us and take the opportunity to turn hurt into happiness. The power of laughter is a wonderful way of just doing that.
That so, is just beautiful.
Now, who doesn't love a kooka?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. How Australian can you get?
Yeah, so I thought, you know, Australia's not making a lot of things. We're sort of sending, importing stuff. So bring back manufacturing to Australia, I say, and bring back jobs.
And so this is all a part of this journey of yours to go back within yourself.
That's right.
And as you went within yourself, you started getting sparked with all these different ideas.
Yeah. I just didn't know where I was going to go. I knew I had to do something, you know, and the natural path was the way to go. I was always been interested in it. I've always been interested in a lot of things. And eventually we're also going to branch out into different materials. So, you know, there's a lot of fibres out there that are energetically good for you. Just like how they used to have the linen sheets in the hospitals years ago, how that helped heal people. You know, they don't use that anymore. They've got like a blend type stuff now on their sheets. But
you've just opened this wide, bright path in front of you, haven't you?
Yeah, it's endless. It's just fantastic. And, you know, it's helping the community, and that's what I really like too, because, you know, a lot of people out there are sick and they don't know why. It could be like the fabrics that they're using, or it could be what they're putting in their bodies. It could be external. You know, there's so many avenues where... if you look into it, you know, you can actually heal your body a lot easier these days. And
isn't it going back to what our grandmas told us?
That's right. You know, using your old grandma and great-grandma's recipes, they're fantastic. They work and they're like, cheap and they, you know, they you get the right recipe out there and you don't need to go to your chemist and spend heaps of money because you can do it yourself, you know.
So once you started putting all those products together and things and testing them out on your children...
but
it was necessary because they were having all sorts of skin issues. What happened to them?
Oh, look, their skin healed up, which is fantastic. They didn't have to go to the doctors anymore for it and they felt better. They could actually... and it also helped with their mindset too. I was actually surprised that they felt better within themselves.
How does that happen? What do you mean?
Well, it's just interesting, you know. I don't know. It's just, I suppose when you start getting all the chemicals out of your life, you start to think clearer.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Amazing, isn't it?
So did you actually investigate what those toxins do to make us not think as clear?
Well, yeah, I have. I've gone a few, if we want to call, rabbit holes down that area as well. But, you know, you just start eliminating just one thing at a time. You know, you don't have to do a whole heap at the start because it can get overwhelming. But when you start reading ingredient labels and when you start looking at what's in your powders and... Because, like, your skin's the biggest organ in your body and it's your clothes are on there all the time. So it's absorbing some of the, you know, the product.
And that's where it tries to detox too, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Your kids were trying to process something that was going into their system.
Yeah.
The system was trying to release it somehow.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, not just topical lotions. That worked a little bit as well at the start, but you didn't need to do that anymore because we changed the actual product itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you don't need to.
So tell everyone that's listening, really. You got a website?
Yeah, it's Shack Essentials.
Shack, as in S-H-A-C-K.
Yeah, essentials.com.au.
Okay, and that's how they can contact you?
Yeah, well, there's an email on there as well. I've actually currently got it in 4 stores around Victoria and it's just branching out and online. So I'm really happy with that. The reception of people like using the products have been fantastic. It's such a buzz to know that you're actually helping the community, you know, as well. It's
better themselves.
You know, the thought came from love. And then you create it, you know, and then you see people enjoy it. And that, to me, is just the best thing ever.
That just creates even more love.
Yeah, exactly. It's just spread the love.
I love that. I absolutely love that. That's a beautiful way to put it. And look, I just want to thank you. We're going to wrap it up today because we're just about at the hour.
There you go.
Michelle, thank you. So you have been so brave. You have spoken about things that, you know, have been uncomfortable for you, but I want to thank you for being brave and sharing them.
Oh, you're welcome. And, you know, I hope that's motivated and inspired some other people out there that can look into themselves and, create something new.
Fabulous. Thank you so much, Michelle. You're welcome.